Blog Talk Radio.
Susceptible to neurological damage from heat exposure as well,
which in more extreme cases can mean permanent brain damage or even death. In other words, encouraging the masses to spray themselves with D to protect against WNV is akin to telling a person who works in a battery acid factory to preemptively expose themselves to equally dangerous neutralizing chemicals just in case he happens to come in contact with the acid chemicals. Why isn't the CDC encouraging people to eat immune-boosting superfoods and supplements in order to naturally avoid WNV? All this sky-spraying, body-spraying advice by the CDC completely neglects any recommendation to the public to actually try to boost their own natural immune systems to avoid WNV infection. A recent CDC announcement put out by CNN explains that only 1 in 500 mosquitoes is even infected with WNV, and 80% of the people who get bitten by an infected mosquito will not show any visible symptoms or become sick in any way. Among the 20% that do show symptoms, only about one-half of 1% will develop anything close to a severe symptom. And most of these individuals will be over 50 years of age and have already weakened immune systems. When computed statistically, this translates into a virtually 0% chance that the average person will experience any health problems associated with WNV. Rather than endorse the dousing of the entire population in health-destroying pesticide chemicals and bug spray, the CDC should be advising people to simply fortify their bodies with immune-boosting superfoods like cruciferous vegetables, omega-3 foods and oils, vitamin D, spirulina, and others, which would help naturally prevent WNV infection from gaining hold and manifesting symptoms. So that was from
Natural News.
Okay.
There's another thing that I saw on the site that I wanted to read, which really, really freaked me out. Right here. This is the one everybody's been talking about lately on the news, and they've been trying to discredit organic foods.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what this guy talks about, and I really like this article, talks about the organic, how the media is screwing around trying to persuade you that GMO foods are great, you know. So,
flawed organic food study, really just a media psyop to confuse the public about organic while pushing GMOs. If you read the mainstream and news headlines today, you might be shocked to see headlines that say things like organic foods no healthier than conventional foods, or organic foods may not be healthier for you. You'll see these headlines all across the usual disinfo outlets, NPR, Associated Press, Reuters, and Washington Post, WebMD, and elsewhere. The problem with these headlines is that they are flatly false. The study these news outlets are quoting actually confirms that organic foods are far healthier for you than conventional foods. So how is the mainstream media lying about this? By fudging the facts, of course. For starters, the study isn't even a study. It was just a review of other studies. No laboratory analysis was done whatsoever. The review, conducted at Stanford University and published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, concludes this: exposure to chemical pesticides was significantly lower in organic foods, roughly 30% less than conventional foods. Exposure to superbugs in meat, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, was also significantly lower in organic foods, roughly 33% risk difference. The study conclusion says right out that consumption of organic foods may reduce exposure to pesticide residues and antibiotic-resistant bacteria. How the media lied. Somehow the mainstream media took this study and then lied to the readers, claimed organic food is no different than conventional food. That is a flat-out lie, of course, because it fails to mention all of the following. GMOs are not allowed in organic foods, so GMO exposure in many orders of magnitude higher in conventional foods where GMOs are commonplace. Artificial chemical sweeteners are not allowed in organic foods, but conventional foods are often sweetened with toxic chemicals such as aspartame and saccharin. The study completely failed to look at the use of genetically modified bovine growth hormones in conventional milk versus organic milk. The environmental impact of conventional food production is devastating to the planet. Chemical pesticides aren't just found in the crops, they also run off in the streams, rivers, and oceans. No mainstream media article that covered the story even bothered to mention this hugely important issue as one of the primary reasons to buy organic. The funding source of the study is listed as none. Does anybody really believe that? All these scientists supposedly volunteered their time and didn't get paid to engage in scientific endeavors? That's absurd. The money for the study had to come from somewhere, and the fact that an annal of internal medicine is hiding the source by listing none is just a further evidence of wrongdoing. A total psyop to confuse the public and push GMOs. Unfortunately, this study comes down to being a total psyop pushed by the mainstream media for the purpose of confusing the public and ultimately promoting GMOs. So that's pretty sad.
I was convinced of that. And you know one of the bellwethers, one of the great bellwethers of the media for any fraud, okay, promoted by pharmaceuticals and the medical profession is this Nancy Snyderman, on NBC. Right. She's supposed to be a doctor, but what a pharma whore. I mean, she will promote anything. I mean, she promoted fluoride in toothpaste. She's promoted Gardasil for her 13-year-old daughters, okay? She's promoted non-organic foods and genetically modified foods and anything that she is paid to promote, she will promote, okay? So, you know, she's a perfect bellwether for, you know, fraudulent media, all right? So make sure you remember her name and don't watch NBC News. So anyway, there were another couple articles that were really phenomenal. One outside, another one that woke me up was was what they were doing with Obama.
Shop.
shop food prices have risen an average of 37.9% in the past 7 years, according to the Office of National Statistics, as the demand of an increasing affluent and growing world population strained supply. Oils and fats are soared by 63% in the UK during that period, and fish prices by 50.9%, bread and cereals by 36.7%, meat by 34%, and vegetables by 41%. In April, average UK food prices were 4.2% higher than a year earlier. In the United States, they're the same thing. Their food prices are going crazy. Oxfam private sector advisor Rob Nash said, "The food market is becoming a playground for investors rather than a marketplace for farmers. The trend of big investors betting on food prices is transforming food into a financial asset while exacerbating the risk of cut price spikes that hit the poor hardest." The World Development Movement reports estimates that Barclays made as much as £525 million from its food speculating activities in 2010 and 2011. Barclays made up to $340 million from food speculation in 2010, as the prices of agricultural commodities such as corn, wheat, and soy were rising. The following year, the bank made a smaller sum of $189 million as prices fell. And it goes on, but it's quite a lengthy article, but I really suggest that you try to read this if you go to want to learn more. It's about, it's from refreshingnews.com. So, what do you think of that, Lana?
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
It's really very tough on a lot of people.
These bastards, it's just they don't care. You know? They just don't care.
Very, very sad.
Just don't care.
You know, that's why I look at these presidential nominees and the...
What jerks. What complete jerks.
And think there's no way they seem to be able to relate to what's happening.
No, they don't care. And I'm sure Bain Capital has some speculation stock in foods as well. EPA changes rules to allow more toxic cleaning chemicals in Main Street food. Did you read that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's frightening.
They just changed the regulations when things get too bad.
Yeah, and all they said is no. This is, in case you've forgotten, EPA stands for Environmental Protection Agency. That was sarcasm. You haven't forgotten, but it appears the EPA has. And reading alphabet soup can be confusing. The FDA, USDA, and EPA all seem to cross over each other when it comes to what happens with food. Recently, the EPA made a ruling on the reuse of chemicals, of a chemical that's used for a variety of products, including sanitizing cleansers for facilities of food industry providers and restaurants. The chemical will show up in processed foods. Government safety agencies safeguard industry profits, not health and safety. And August 22, 2012, Courthouse News Edition contained a short article entitled "More Ammonia Now Allowed in Processed Food." It has a reference to the EPA's latest revision for limiting using dimethyl ammonium in the carbonate for a bicarbonate form, DDACB, focus on ammonia. The former limit of 240 parts per million was raised to 400 parts per million, and a petition to raise the allowed limit was issued to the EPA by a principal provider of the chemical, Lonza, according to the Courthouse News press release. The reason for limiting DDACB is residual amounts of highly toxic ammonia used in food facilities are carried by the foods and consumed. According to the EPA's own document on the ruling, those industries affected favorably by the increased toxicity allowance are dairy, food manufacturing, beverage manufacturing, and pesticide producers. notice that one company submitted a petition and the EPA granted an approval. But hold on. When has an alphabet soup agency really responded to a mass petition on raw milk or GMOs? Never would be a close enough answer. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
These agencies also respond to industry demands regardless of their health or safety risks. Adding more toxicity and GMO into the food chain are not given a second thought by the government's protective agencies. The revolving door between government and industry spins quickly with highly paid industry lobbyists, the only ones getting access to easy, corrupted politicians. And on rare occasions, huge pensions, email, call-in, or mail-in campaigns will thwart threatening legislation. But those hard-won victorious battles serve as retreats for key legislators to come back in slightly different wording or sneak industry-sponsored rulings into newly proposed or existing legislation later. Meanwhile, petitions to federal administration agencies for labeling GMOs are ignored, and petitions to allow raw milk federally was responded with boilerplate official nonsense. The list of dangerous drugs, pesticides, chemical additives, and GMOs that are rubber-stamped for approval by the FDA, EPA, and USDA without any precautionary wait periods is staggering. And ammonia hydroxide, as was also a toxic feature of pink slime used by the meatpacking industry as a hamburger helper. The ammonia compound was used to sanitize meat scraps from the floors of packing meatpacking sites, then ground up with the rest of the beef and sold as hamburger meat. Whistleblowers revealed this and somehow got the attention of the mainstream media enough to cause a massive public awareness of pink slime and ground beef. The result was a major food distributor, Cargill, suffered a tremendous drop in its sales of ground beef and apparently began phasing out pink slime. The last bastion of us peasants to fend off the oligarchy money interests, slow kill with food and medicine, may be mass boycotts. But enough have to know what should be boycotted and realize they don't need it. That's the real truth.
Yeah, why don't we go to a short music break and then we'll come right back.
Okay. Go to All You Can Eat.
Okay. This is an interesting article from National News also, you know, especially since it's, you know, September and we're purchasing new clothes. So this is important for all of us. Several decades ago, the DuPont logo had the following text attached, Better Living Through Chemistry. Since then, many of us have come to realize we are living worse in a toxic environment that includes chemically polluted air, water, food, so-called medicine, and now even clothing. DuPont has created rayon, a synthetic fiber used for much of our clothing. So it makes sense to team up with the timber industry to ensure hemp was banned in the 1930s. Rayon and paper could continue to be made chemically, be made by chemically processing wood from trees without competition. Clothing clings to our skin, our largest organ. Toxic chemicals are used excessively for processing garment fibers and also for manufacturing clothes. Asian and third world countries manufacture most of our textiles and clothes. But they supply Americans and other multinational brand labels with those clothes to yield high profit based on cheap production in regions without even shoddy regulatory agency protection. After the clothes are made, they are often covered with formaldehyde to keep them from wrinkling or becoming mildewed during shipping. Formaldehyde as a preservative also adds to vaccines' toxicity. Several severe allergic actions to formaldehyde have been reported. It's no wonder. Investigations have discovered up to 500 times the safe level of formaldehyde in clothing shipped to brand-name clothiers from factories in China and Southeast Asia. There's also the long-term negative cumulative effect on health that is almost impossible to trace back to any source of clothing chemicals. Formaldehyde and other toxic chemicals are used to create synthetic fibers for towels, bedding, and clothing. Textile toxins are hard to avoid even when you're out of your clothes. Another commonly used clothing chemical is neophenol ethoxylate, NPE. Use is restricted in most regions where the big brand name clothes are sold, but there are no restrictions where the clothing factories are located in China and Southeast Asia. 14 big name brands get their clothing from clothing factories using NPE. Wrinkle-free and non-iron should be considered a warning for carcinogenic perfluorinated chemicals, PFCs. Teflon for pans is a TFC. Petrochemical dyes are used for fibers in those Asian textile factories that profusely pollute nearby waters. Dr. Richard Dixon of the World Wildlife Federation warns about the ecological impact on wildlife. Urgent action is needed to replace hazardous chemicals with safer alternatives, especially in clothing and other consumer products. Black clothing and dyes for leathers often contain PPD, which can produce allergic reactions. Flame retardants can appear in bedding and nightwear. Volatile organic compounds and dioxin-producing bleach are used by textile industries. Athletic shoes that contain cloth contain some of these toxins. How to protect yourself. Read clothing labels and try to avoid synthetic materials such as rayon, nylon, polyester, acrylic, acetate, or triacetate as much as possible. Also avoid no iron, wrinkle-free, and pre-shrink items. Whatever that's possible, wash and dry these clothes 3 times before wearing. Use only safe organic detergents from health food stores. Also avoid those dryer sheets to prevent clinging unless you can find them without toxic chemicals. Even used clothing purchased from thrift stores such as Goodwill may be sprayed with some skanky chemical before they're put up for sale. Wash and dry them at least once. Stay away from dry cleaners that use pyrochloroethylene. There are some that don't. Oh, boy. It sounds like we're really in for it, Leo, huh?
Well, we have been for years, and we wonder why cancers are all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, to me, that's why when I ran across that article, I went, oh, okay.
stuff that we really need to pay attention to.
Now, this is something near and dear to my heart because, you know, I developed a gluten allergy. But it says weak belly, 101, five clues that your excess weight is caused by gluten.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what does it say?
It says, wheat today is not what it used to be. It is more of a hybrid version of the 19th century and earlier versions of wheat. Our ancestors relied on it for their daily bread. The same is true for a few other grains. Today, wheat is a genetic modification of a horticultural or agricultural species combining the genetic modification, combining this genetic modification is different than laboratory GMO gene splicing. And nevertheless, the amount of 20th century agricultural generic modification has outpaced the human digestive system's ability to adapt. The result is that even if you are not a celiac disease sufferer or gluten sensitive, you could be suffering from the ill effects of wheat and other grains. Even organic whole wheat has a high glycemic index, which over time can increase your glycemic load and create diabetes too.
Huh.
Yeah. I wonder if that, yeah. So although whole wheat grains are considered complex carbohydrates, modern day wheat contains amylopectin A, which has a rapidly absorbed carbohydrate that spikes your blood sugar. But more, the other grains that can contribute to wheat belly include barley, rye, triticale, which is a cross between wheat and rye, bulgur, farina, kamut, semola, durum flour, and spelt. Bummer, eh? Well, there are safer grain options. However, buckwheat, which is not actually wheat.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Amaranth, rice, hominy, sorghum, tapioca, arrowroot, quinoa, and einkorn are okay. Uncommon einkorn is the ancient traditional wheat our ancestors enjoyed, really. Oats are controversial. Some argue that oats are contaminated by wheat. The downside of wheat and other and some other grains, beer belly is actually wheat or grain belly. According to body ecology, it is visceral fat, or fat that has accumulated around body cavity organs, such as the liver, stomach, or intestines. Subcutaneous fat is just under the skin. It is the flabby flesh of any part of your body. Aha! Well, obese folks have more visceral and subcutaneous fat issues. A beer or wheat belly most likely indicates visceral fat. In addition to the obvious potential of diabetes, too, from obesity, there is another ominous aspect of visceral fat. Visceral fat acts as a gland, secreting hormones that make the immune system react. This produces more fat to store and protect pathogens from invading our organs. It's the proverbial vicious cycle, and it also produces low-level chronic inflammation that can result in various autoimmune diseases. Cardiologist William Davies, MD, warns against the gluten-free diet for losing a wheat belly. The wheat substitutes such as potato flour have high glycemic index issues also, and they can increase your GI load to cause the obesity you're trying to avoid. I agree with that. There's a lot of starch in potatoes, and potato starch flour.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read this, the rest of this?
Sure.
It says the five wheat belly indicators in addition to a bloated belly.
Oh, boy.
High blood sugar.
In addition to a bloated belly, high blood sugar, skin problems, rashes, acne, and eczema, bouts of anxiety and depression, low energy, gut disorders, that'd be like yeast infections, early aging disorders that include dementia. Beyond that, celiac disease, which can be determined by a blood test or a gut biopsy. sprouted grain bread option. Weston A. Price Foundation, Sally Fallon, and Mary G. M. researched sprouted grains and determined they had a lower GI than grains not sprouted. The sprouts still contain some gluten, but sprouted grain enzymes break down a good deal of the grain's normally harmful ingredients. They are more nutritious than merely whole grains. They are the Ezekiel sprouted grain breads. Some bakeries make sprouted wheat and other sprouted grain breads. Whole Food Bakeries provides a sourdough sprouted wheat bread without bromide, a harmful ingredient used by most bakeries. You might be able to get away with some of the options mentioned in this article instead of being forced to into a strict Paleolithic or hunter-gatherer diet to avoid wheat belly.
So everybody,
a sprouted grain.
So all you guys out there that are suffering from beer belly, you're absolutely right. That's what it is. Beer, wheat, all your wheat products, and women as well,
But how about it brings on dementia?
Brings on dementia as well. That was amazing, isn't it?
That's something, too.
Yeah. So, it's like...
it doesn't seem to be anything that it doesn't...
Genetically modified stuff is killing us, and making
people very sick and uncomfortable.
Yeah, now high blood sugar. There you go. Diabetics, lots of skin problems, rashes, acne. That's what caused my. That's how I discovered my allergy to wheat.
Yeah.
Right. Was because of rashes that I was getting, and the minute I was told to cut out when I cut out wheat, all my rashes went away.
Yeah.
It was gone. So
you felt a lot better.
Within days, really. So it was like amazing. I had to cut out beer, of course, which was the hardest thing for me to cut out.
Which was not amazing.
Yeah. In fact, I don't remember. Before we go, there's just one more thing that really troubled me when I read it.
So what else do you have there, Leo, for news?
Came out back in April, and I didn't get to see this one, but it turns out that an airport's passenger screener is charged with distributing child pornography.
Huh.
Yeah, there you go. This is not a very long article. So a passenger screener at Philadelphia International Airport is facing charges that he distributed more than 100 images of child pornography via Facebook and other shows. Federal agents also allege that the Transportation Safety Administration Officer Thomas Gordon, Philadelphia, who routinely searched airline passengers, uploaded explicit pictures of young girls to an internet site on which he also posted a photograph of himself in a TSA uniform. What an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of idiots they hire for this job. Homeland Security agents arrested the TSA officer March 24th, he's being held without bail. Although the case was unsealed Thursday, neither the indictment nor the news release mentioned Gordon's job searching airline passengers for TSA. The arrest comes as TSA grapples with severe other incidents involving screeners, including a YouTube video posted last week by parents angry about the pat-down their six-year-old daughter received at an airport in New Orleans. TSA officials said that down was proper, and the passenger said the girl was broke. And citing privacy rules, TSA spokesman Ann Davis would not say if Gordon had been suspended from his job, but noted that he had been in federal custody since his arrest. And we assure the public that he is no longer working at the airport, Davis said. And the article goes on talking about Davis, but Gordon's job as a TSA screener was in jeopardy last year for unrelated reasons, according to an online newsletter. Citing a family issue, they say Gordon was having difficulty maintaining his work schedule. The union lawyer helped convince TSA officials that a change in shift schedule would resolve the problem. But, unbelievable. Just freaking unbelievable. Gordon faced a minimum mandatory sentence of 5 and a maximum prison term of 250 years. My top fine of $3.2 million. Amazing, huh?
I wonder if it's in New York or countrywide.
That was Philadelphia.
I was thinking about being able to be really careful using stuff.
The highest ranking officer was the General Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told reporters in London. Clearly, it would not delay that an Israeli attack would clearly delay, but probably not destroy Iran's nuclear weapon, adding that he was against U.S. cooperation and unilateral assault. I don't want to be complicit if they, Israel, chooses to do it, Dempsey told reporters. And he explains why. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has been adamant that the nation's nuclear facilities exist solely for peaceful purposes and that the country is not in the market for procuring nuclear warheads, a sentiment echoed by Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, who earlier this week told heads of state, our motto is nuclear energy for all and nuclear weapons for none. So far, no foreign nations have been able to independently confirm or deny that claim. On Thursday, however, the United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency wrote that Iran has been uncooperative with attempts to investigate their facilities and suggest that they could be producing nukes. Israel, a close ally of the United States, has also claimed that Iran's intentions are motivated by manufacturing warheads.
No.
The world must stop Iran from becoming nuclear. All options remain on the table, said Ehud Barak, Defense Minister of Israel. And from an executive standpoint, President Obama has also remained willing to strike if necessary, but has not pushed for pressure on Iran aside from the sanctions currently imposed by the U.S. I also don't, as a matter of sound policy, go around advertising exactly what our intentions are, but both governments recognize that when the United States says it is unacceptable for Iran to have nuclear weapons, we mean what we say. President Obama said earlier this year. And on Thursday, General Dempsey commented the strike against Iran with the fears of their nuclear program, if conducted, could be without merit and might even erode the pro-Israel alliance currently in place. International coalition applied between a pressure on Iran could be undone if Iran was attacked prematurely, Dembski said, and adding that intelligence did not reveal intentions to procure nukes. Dempsey was in the UK to attend the Paralympic Games, where he is serving as the head of the U.S. delegation. So there you go, folks. What do you think? None.
It's cold, Leo.
All right, Leo.
Just have a few more minutes.
Yeah. All right. Now, I'm going to... Of course, U.S. Justice Department closes the CIA probe with no charges of torture and no murderers of the detainees. On Thursday, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder shut down a more than three-year investigation into CIA torture and murder of detainees with no charge being brought against anyone.
You must post it. Everything is fine.
Yep. Just like the Goldman Sachs and everything else. But, I mean, they waste all this time. They might as well just, you know, why bother? And this final ignominious chapter in the Obama administration's protection of those responsible for the crimes carried out under the Bush administration concerned the CIA torturing the deaths of two detainees, one in Afghanistan in 2002 and another in Iraq in 2003. In a statement announcing that no one would be prosecuted, Attorney General Holder claimed admissible evidence would not be sufficient to obtain and sustain a conviction. Adding that this conclusion had been reached following a review of substantive criminal statutes as well as the statutes of limitations and jurisdictional provisions. So in other words, all the CIA stuff is above the law. That's what it's saying. Right?
Yep, I could see that.
All of it is above the law. Unbelievable. But anyway,
keep zooming away there. There is an end. There it is, right there.
Well, that was.
Yep. Just two next. Oh, one. patent number 8254 and 9002, published on Tuesday, titled Apparatus and Methods for Enforcement of Policies Upon a Wireless Device.
Yeah.
Okay, it states, apparatus and methods for changing one or more functional or operational aspects of a wireless device such as upon the occurrence of a certain event. In one embodiment, the event compromises detecting the wireless, blah, blah, blah. So, in other words, an encoded signal could be transmitted to all wireless devices, commanding them to disable recording functions.
So, if you're at a protest, or if you're at a movie, or you're at a, and they mentioned this, the many things that they can do, they put out that signal and it decodes everything. What they do is they can create a barrier around a location that will knock out
you're at a protest or something.
So if you got an iPhone, so I'll tell you the truth. If I would not buy an iPhone just based on that alone. Okay, on what kind of bullshit.
It'd be interesting to see if that affects the new iPhone that's coming out.
I wonder if they suddenly have all those the new iPhone. Is coming out on the 12th.
Yeah.
It would make sense that would have that in there, that feature in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I hope that God, people don't go out and buy the damn new iPhone. But, you know, people are going to do it because people are stupid, all right? And they don't know. And, you know, they don't realize that Google can track everything you're doing by Android. And Apple has been able to do that already.
Yep.
You know, these iPhones are all tapped in.
It
makes
really
so much sense that's why an FBI agent would have 12 million.
Yeah, you wonder why he has all that. What was he doing with it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What was his need to have all of those?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, are they going to be able to send messages, shut down your machine, interfere with things that are happening in schools?
Cut out your communications.
I just don't like this at all.
No.
I really
don't.
I think it's very scary. We all very scared people ought to think about this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is coming. This is here now.
It's already here.
You know, so, man, I say, given that majority, that the majority of major technology companies are set to make wireless connectivity a major feature of the latest cameras. All right, so they're going to do this on all of the latest cameras. This development does not bode well for photographers and citizen journalists who are already experiencing a major crackdown on their First and Fourth Amendment rights. If this type of technology became widely adopted and baked into if this type of technology became widely adopted and baked into cameras, photography could be prevented by simply setting a geofence around a particular location, whether it's a movie theater, celebrity hangout, protest site, or top secret rooms of One Infinite Loop, Perkino, California. I don't know where that is, but that's the stuff that's happening, guys. And it's really frightening to me. I think it is. Anyway. You?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100%.
I just think it's like,
I don't like the idea of that at all.
No. No. And you did. I wanted to make sure everybody heard this. Pro-life. While at Bain Capital, Romney invested $75 million in Stericycle, a medical waste disposal firm that disposes of aborted feces. Aborted fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
Of aborted fetuses. So much this bastard is pro-life. You know what I mean? And this is Romney. So, anyway, we'll leave you with that. I hope you enjoy the tonight's convention. I think it starts at 10 o'clock or something. Somebody's going to talk. Oh, Michelle Obama's talking. It's going to be interesting. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to go to naturalnews.com. and check out their site. Also, you might want to go to davidicke.com, check out their incredible stuff, and InfoWars, and a whole bunch of other, any other site that you, that's reported on these sites. Good news for everybody. Okay, so I want to thank everybody and wish you a very pleasant evening. And join us tomorrow when we have Larry Dorman from the AFSCME Union joining us and our night with union issues.
I want him to answer the question, why it's important to vote in this election.
Yes, yes.
So
I think it's going to be obvious.
So we'll pose that question to him, see what he says. So tune in, folks, to listen to his response, and have a good evening. Okay. Good night.
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, right here.
That you close the music.